Amen. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for another time with you. Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for the work you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord, doing this fast. You're getting rid of the beast in us and the beast in the world. And we praise you, Father, for bringing down the deep state in the church and in the nation too, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless your name because you're great and you're greatly to be praised. We love you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. And I adore you, Lord. We worship your holy name and we stand before your throne right now, your throne of grace. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy upon each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your protection upon us, your provisions upon us in the days ahead. And Lord, we know that we're going to stand out in the days ahead because we have learned to trust you for everything. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, that the world will see who you are and what you are through us. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us and the trust that you put in our hearts to trust you, Lord, to answer our prayers, because we know that we do have an open heaven. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been answered in the past. We just praise you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God. You're an awesome God, mighty to be praised. And we praise you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight as well. We thank you, Lord, for being with us, guiding us and leading us into the things that you'd have us to speak about and to talk about. And Lord, place it in our hearts to love one another without reservation, because we're all in you. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish tonight through each and every one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, my, 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 my. I'm going to pray some things that we should have been praying all along, and I forgot. I've just slipped my mind. Lord, we pray that you would bring conviction to anyone of sin so that we have power in our prayers. We have power in our prayers, Lord, and no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, we bind all demons that work against us, and we send forth the angels to bring us intelligence on our enemies and destroy every invasion of our privacy through phones, computers, iPads, Zoom, spy, etc., anything. In the name of Jesus, when we send forth the angels to stop all hindrances to getting the truth out through the videos, the books, the broadcasts, and everything, in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about all over the world. In the name of Jesus, we cast down all plots and schemes of the enemy to hinder the dreams, the visions, the words, and the ministry, in the name of Jesus. And we bind all slander, lies, deception, and every form and evangelism of the enemy against the truth. In Jesus' name, we send forth the angels to reveal the sins of the enemy to one another through dreams and visions and anything possible, Lord. In Jesus' name, we send forth the angels to stop all hindrances to the money that comes forth to those who will use it wisely to keep the enemies from partaking in any of it, in the name of Jesus, to use for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bind all sickness or infirmity or viruses from invading this fellowship right here, in the name of, from all of your chosen, Father, in the name of Jesus. We bind all warfare against us through witchcraft, faction, rejection, fear of rejection, condemnation, fear, anger, unforgiveness, criticism, and anything else that might pop up, in the name of Jesus. And we send forth the angels to reveal the sins of the deep state in both factions, We send forth the angels to turn them against each other so that they reap what they sow and repent and turn back to the Lord. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we bind up the enemy to cause to cease any distractions of our flesh-pleasing life to keep us from prayer and warfare. Father, we ask for a special anointing to be in your word, a hunger for the word, and to open our understanding when we read your precious word and to reveal unto us many fortified things. Then, Father, we pray for an infilling and refilling of your Holy Spirit and a special anointing to pray in the Spirit long times, Lord. And above all, place your love in our hearts so that we love just like you love, Lord. Give us your heart. And I seal this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. That is done. Y'all believe everything that I prayed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. William, your audio is unintelligent. It's not intelligible. All we're hearing is a bunch of static. So that's all we're hearing. Sorry about that. I don't know what it is, but it's just garbled. All right. Anybody want to pray? Hey, Claire. Hey, Mariana. There's Patrick. Hey, Ben and Andrew. How y'all is? How y'all doing? Everything all right? That's so cool. Amen. All right. Hey, Carol. Hi, William, my old buddy. Hi, Sunil, David, Alina, Edwin, and Andrea, Lana, Samuel, and Tiana, and little David, Josie, Catherine. Here's Miss Ice, Barbara, Gano, and that old favorite, call in user number one.
Thank you. That would be me.
Yeah, that would be you. All right.
Can you hear me, my brother?
Yeah, I can now.
Yeah, I had the Bluetooth on. It was off on the Bluetooth. Now on my phone, so it was blocking it.
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You're over-modulating just a little bit, but that's okay. We can understand you. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request other than Missy? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I got a number of things. Found out the other day, we prayed about this in the morning prayer meeting. Merle's older sibling, she's 91, Helen, she's in the hospital with pneumonia in one of her lungs. And that's basically all I know. And then we just found out today, his brother Dale, that's going to be 82 late end of this month, he fell in the store today, but that's all we were told. But then his Merle's niece told him that he has cancer. And it's all through his body. And then he got a text earlier, and it's liver cancer. So, I mean, it's, Merle said, wherever it originated is, that's the kind of cancer they call it. You know, but so it's ended up through his whole body. So, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if he's saved. Or his sister, for that matter.
Who is this, Missy?
Merle's brother, Dale.
Okay.
He'll be 82 later this month. So anyway, so I'd like to pray for them too. And then I got some other things. Gosh, I don't think I've ever had so many prayer requests before. So Father, they're both getting on in the years. And my biggest concern is that they've repented and believed in you, and that when they leave this earth, that they go to be with you, and that you prepare their way. And Lord, if they're not done, we ask you for a miraculous healing in them. You just speak to them where they're at, Lord. That they know that their time is short on this earth, and help them to repent and believe in you if they haven't, Lord, and with the days that they have left, to seek you with all their heart and to get into your word, Lord. Bring someone across their path, Lord, that'll really speak to them about you. And I believe, I ask you too, and I know you're speaking to them by your Holy Spirit, but bring someone across their path to really encourage them, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then I was going to go see my family this weekend because my brother is going to be visiting with my parents. And the Lord's been doing a work in my mom, so I felt to go this weekend. So then Kurt and Brooke calls up when I'm making dinner. And Brooke says to me, do you want to take a week's vacation with us? And then Kurt says, no, 2 weeks. You want to take a vacation with us for 2 weeks? And I'm like, what? I'm like thinking, when, you know, like you're like, I'm thinking, you know, they want me to come along and help Blake or something. I don't know. And here the daycare is shut down again. This is the second time it's happened since Blake started going to daycare this fall. Brooke going back because of COVID. There's three kids now and they had to shut the daycare down. They won't open back up till the 14th. So I discussed it with Merle. So I'm going to go do that. And I was thinking, you know, this would be a great time to spend some extra time with my parents, you know, in the evening when and everything. So then I see an email my mom sent me, long story short, one of the residents there was talking to him 3 foot away. My mom didn't have a mask on. My dad did. My mom didn't have one on because she rushed out to give my dad some mail and met this lady at the mailboxes, and she didn't have my mom didn't have a mask on. And here the lady announces she has COVID, and my mom looked at her and her eyes were all red and watery and everything. So now they have to quarantine for 10 days. So the 10 days will be up on the 11th. And that's assuming that they get freed up for the 12th and the 13th. So, you know, so I'll probably stay the 12th and the 13th too, even though I wouldn't have to for Blake. It's just, I hate to be there that whole time and not have gotten to see my parents. So anyway, that's kind of it in a nutshell. So Father, I just, I've already spoken to Mom. I know even my brother and my sister both, you know, said, you know, that they don't believe they have anything to worry about. And I prayed with my mom, you know, just forbid this to come on them, even though my mom, she waffles back and forth and thinks she had it, but then she doesn't think that she had it. And it's just a convoluted mess. And Lord, I ask you to put it in Mom's heart, not to, for either of them to have a COVID test unless it's demanded that they do it. So Father, and if they have to do it, then I just praise you and I thank you that they are protected and it's not going to harm them in any way. And I thank you, Lord, that they're not even going to get COVID. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for all these things that you're using. It's a convoluted mess, Lord. but I know it's your mess. It may sound funny, but I know you're working all things after the counsel of your will, and I just praise you and I thank you for it. And I look, I know you're using it to draw your people to repentance and for trusting in man and not in you, Lord. And I know you're using it to, among many other things, Lord, that's going on in this crazy world, to draw your people back to him, Lord, back to you, Lord, and that they would repent and to bring in a great harvest of those who haven't even come into the kingdom yet. So I just praise you and I thank you for all these things. And I just ask you to bless my time with Kurt and Brooke and Blake, and that I get to spend more time with Matt and Megan and Ryder and bond with them. And I just command all these walls to come down, and I cast down all faction out of my family. That spirit is not permitted to be in my family. And I thank you, Lord, for softening up Matt and Megan's hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for delivering them from rejection. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing them into the kingdom when you see fit, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So. Thank you, Lord. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be working this whole week, and we're going to get a big snowstorm, so I'm just hoping I can get to work on time.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for keeping the roads open from Nick's house to work, in Jesus' name, and back, in the name of Jesus. Well, maybe he just wants to stay there. Lord, we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. All right, Nick, you got it, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, call in user number one.
Hello, everybody.
What do you say, Malcolm?
I've got a couple prayer requests. For one thing, my a family friend of my parents, Beverly, has been. We've already prayed for her, but she has been really weak and unable to really get out of bed, and a hard time breathing, getting enough oxygen. So I just want to, they're still at the God's will stage, the family is. So, but I just want to cast down that out and just negate that God's will idea that the family has regarding their mother. And Lord, I thank you that you have already healed her at the cross, and it's a done deal. And Lord, thank you that she's going to live to see all the amazing things that are about to hit us with great vigor. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We believe it.
Then the other thing is, my dad has been getting weaker, so I just come against that as well. And I guess I could go through the list. I bind up all the polio, the effects of polio, and all the shaking, and the effects possibly of the shots that they got. His arm is just out of commission. I just come against all that stuff, reverse all of it, and I thank you, Lord, for bringing him through and just raising him out of whatever weakness he's in. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Of course, we all pray for spiritual reversal of a lot of the denominational foolishness that a lot of people are holding on to. So I pray that too. Thank you for bringing them fully into your kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me just read something right quick to you, so y'all get a little bit of a picture of how much power is in this room. Remember what Acts 4:31 says? It says, and when they, that's when the disciples, had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. All of them were assembled together. Are we not assembled together here? We are assembled together. We have the power to shake the very foundations of demonic activity in our families and our friends. When we pray, and we pray with the authority and the boldness that God has placed in us, it's done. It is done. It is done. Glory to God. It is done, y'all. Walk around and say, it is done. Because it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the power that's in this little group right here. The power that God has. There is not another power upon earth that is more explosive than this group right here. And when you get that, it is done. Glory to God, it is done. Amen. All right. Glory to God. That pumped me up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to, which really I'm not even worried about it because the Lord has just given me so much peace and I'm just so at rest. But I did have a appointment today with my midwife, and she, which now they're weekly, you know, because baby's due on the 21st. But she said that everything looks good. She said my hemoglobin, though, looked a little low, I guess, because I haven't been eating as much veggies or something like that. She told me to lay off the sweet tea, and as a Southerner, that's just offensive. So,
amen.
So I was like, oh, but the thing is, sorry, it's my dog in the background. You know, along with this fast and stuff like that, like, I just want to thank the Lord for his willpower and things. And I know he's going to give me the willpower to stay away from that sugar. And, you know, this is a home stretch and just eat things that are good for me. But then I thought about it too. Even if I did want to have some sweet tea or something, you know, if I pray and believe that whatever I consume is nutritious, then in Jesus' name it is. So, you know, which I mean, I'm not going to go overboard and go on a candy spree and eat all kinds of McDonald's or something like that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm still going to, you know, get my veggies in, do what I'm supposed to do. But anyways, I just want to rebuke any bad report in Jesus' name. And she's a Christian. She's been really great this whole time. It was kind of more just like a, hey, you know, be doing this or whatever. But I just thank the Lord that I'm totally at peace, and I just want you all to agree with me. And thank you, Jesus, that no matter what, Father, your grace surpasses all, Lord, and that hush puppy, and that Father, you have blessed me, Lord, to have an amazing pregnancy, an amazing birth, an amazing delivery. Amen. And this baby is so healthy, Father. She couldn't be any more healthier, Lord, because you, Father, have designed her to be that way, and then you're going to carry that way, Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the strength that you've given me, and for this little one, and for Morgan. And I thank you for your willpower, Lord, for me to put off the flesh, Father, spiritually and physically. And Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that everything's going to be exactly the way it needs to be. And like that vision you've given me, Lord, you're just going to carry her out. And Father, I rebuke any low hemoglobin in Jesus' name. It's going to go right back to where it needs to be. And it's already done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just bless that tea when you drink it. That's all you got to do. And believe it's being blessed. And then when that baby comes out, she's going to say, Mama, tea.
I agree.
Bring me some sweet tea. All right, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to share a praise report. We got home on Sunday night from a ice skating session with our boys, and little Theo came up to me and said, "Mom, I'm cold. I want to go to bed." And his friends who had come over after the session to play had just walked into the house. And this normally would have Theo bouncing off walls. And he was like, "Nope, I just want my blanket and I'm going to bed." And I thought, this must be, he must really not be feeling good. So I put him to bed and I checked on him after everybody had left that evening. And he was fevering. He was bright red. It just wasn't looking good. And Theo and I had been casting it down all evening once we realized what was coming at us. And praise the Lord, the next morning he was the first kid out of bed and he was acting his usual self with not a sign of anything from the night before. And the Lord has been so good to us in doing that for our boys multiple times. And as a mom, especially when you have super energetic boys, it's unsettling to see them lethargic, fevering, sick, inactive, and it just breaks my heart. And so I'm so grateful that the Lord spares me the heartache of seeing my kids sick, and of course spares them the suffering of having to go through that. And it's so good to see him answer those prayers so quickly as we endure through the night. So thank you, Father, and praise his holy name.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to your holy name, Lord. Amen. Okay, Claire. We can't hear you. You're probably muted. Muted on your computer, baby. Well, I just want to praise the Lord.
Try to come out and come back in.
You're probably muted on your computer. Check your volume on your microphone.
All right, yeah, maybe it's down.
Lord, we just thank you that you're fixing Claire's computer right now in Jesus' name, where we can hear her and she can hear us. Oh my, Rhea. Oh, help us, Jesus. Attaboy, Rhea, submit. Can't do it one way, we'll do it another. Lord of God. Oh, maybe you can go back out and come back in. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Maybe Rion can call you and tell you what to do. All right. Anybody else while Claire's trying to get hers fixed? Yeah, Debbie.
Hello, everybody. I want to thank everyone for your prayers for Brittany, my cousin's granddaughter. And my cousin is someone I haven't seen for many years. We used to be close years ago when we were kids, but it's been many years. And I mean, several years at a time, I might say something or see her as something. It was a reunion was a long, many years ago at reunions, I saw her. So, but anyway, she did say that today I talked to her by texting and she said that, Brittany is improving. She's improving steadily. Something about I forget what she said, what she called it. I wonder if I should look for it. I don't forget what it is. Something to do with a throat. Well, she's not hooked up to the ventilator. But anyway, and she is still in ICU, but they said she's improving. So thank you all. And I also think when I shared about this Kimmy who was bled out in Victory's bathroom and throwing up and stuff. And don't know how she's doing right now. Victory hasn't been able to find out. She heard that she was taken out of ICU and put up to the fourth floor, and the shape she was in, I don't know why they did that. We don't know. I hate to think of why they did that. I'm believing that it's a good thing. So thank you, Lord. It's a good thing she's up there. But we haven't heard anything. It was very, very serious before. So, but God could be doing a miracle. So I just wanted to keep praying for Kimmy. And when I find out more, I'll let you all know. But just thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers, Lord, for Brittany, Lord. And then you're healing her up, Lord, and whatever this is. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed because she was healed at the cross, Lord. She's your child. And the family is praying for her, Lord God. And we just thank you for answering their prayers and ours. And we thank you she is healed and delivered from this, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for Kimmy, Lord, that God, you would just do what you want to do in her life. We know that you need to bring her unto you, and we believe you're going to do that, Lord. We believe you for salvation for her, Father, because you see the end from the beginning, Lord, and you knew we'd be praying for her, God, and we thank you, God, for her salvation. And we thank you for her healing, Lord. It'll be a miraculous healing, God, that bring glory to your name, Lord. We keep lifting her up to you, Lord, and I pray you'll help us to be able to find out soon what is going on with her, Lord, and just believe that everything is in your hands, Lord. We just thank you, Father. And I want to pray for my cousin, too. I thank you, Father, for what you've done in her life, that she loves you. You've drawn her close to you, Lord. And I thank you for us being able to reunite for quite a bit today in texting back and forth. And I ask your blessing on her and the family, Lord. And just thank you, Father. She's got her faith strong in you and trusting you for healing Brittany, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for being so good and faithful, Lord, to them. So just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for all of these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Claire, you want to try it again? Come out of her, you deaf spirit, dumb spirit, in the name of Jesus. You command that computer to work right now in Jesus' name. Well, it's some kind of computer setting. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her the wisdom to go in there and set the microphone settings just like they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Next time she comes up, she's going to have it fixed. Angels, help her out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right, Benita, go ahead.
Okay, well, I had a question about the fast. My mom has been so worried about me because I'm fasting and I didn't do the water thing, but I had to drink water at the hospital after the fifth day. I just was so thirsty. So I did drink water after the fifth day, but I haven't eaten anything since then, since the beginning. But she's very worried about me, and she's telling me, you know, you can't just eat right afterwards. You have to slowly go back into it. Just have broth or, you know, this or that, and don't eat anything. And I'm like, well, I don't know, Mom. I'm going to ask all these people that have fasted, and they can tell me what their experience is. So I just was wondering if there's any precautions I should take when we start eating again, or can I just feast?
Well, wherever your faith is, I tell you what, it depends on the person, actually. We've done both. So I'm going to let these women talk to you. Go ahead, Missy, shortly. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, when I did it, I the first thing I had was a big old chocolate milkshake. I think it was peanut butter chocolate milkshake. I made myself one. And I was like, oh, but it tastes so good. And in When I first started, the first thing I started to do was I started to drink water, and I could not drink water. It tasted so horrible. I don't know what it was. This is just my experience. But you started drinking water. I don't know if it seemed funny to you, but I just, because I hadn't swallowed or eaten anything, I had this horrible feeling in my mouth and my throat for a while. It was just weird. But I did this, you know, big milkshake, and it went down fine. I didn't have any issues, and I think I ate a small apple. But I've heard that some people they just maybe guzzled it too fast or whatever. But I heard there were some people chucking.
I'll tell you what we did after the 7-day fast is we got, you know what Boost is? That's a protein drink. We got Boost and made milkshakes out of it, like Missy was talking about. This was at midnight. I mean, we were counting the seconds now. But anyway, we made milkshakes out of Boost, and that was all we had till the next day. And then, of course, we ate normal after that. Yeah, Julie.
Well, I got a feast sitting on my counter. I've got shrimp, a Hostess apple pie. I don't know, go crackers. Crab dip. I've got all kinds of stuff. Oh, I'm ready.
The first time I ever fasted, and I really didn't put any law on myself. I didn't know any better after. I was just so hungry, and I was just like, my fast is over. It was like 6 days, and I hadn't eaten anything. I think I drank water periodically, but I really can't remember. I don't think I did a full fast, like, you know, food and drink. But I was just like, I just made, like, I had like 7 plates in front of me with different things on there. I don't know what it was, like a feast. and like somebody put in the chat, it's like, yeah, your stomach shrinks. So you don't realize you can't eat as much. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach, literally, you know? But yeah, I ate as much as I could, and like, oh, I'm full, you know, and I was completely fine. I didn't reject anything. And we did the 7-day fast, and I was just like, oh Lord, I prayed and say, when I drank what I drank, I broke my fast with like a fruit smoothie, just fruit. And that was it. And I prayed and thanked God for the fast and thanked him for the smoothie, and that would, my stomach would receive it. And I think I broke the fast with some water, and I was just sipping on it. And I think I had like grapefruit juice, because that's what I was craving for some reason. Like about the 4th day into the fast, I was craving like grapefruit juice. So I bought some grapefruit juice for it. I broke my fast. But anyhow, I just prayed over that my body would receive what I fed it. And it was great, you know, so. Yeah, just go easy. You probably won't be able to eat as much as what you think, but because it all sounds good right now, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling very faithful right now. Like I can eat anything. So
yeah, you'll be.
But fine. I'll go slow. I'll be careful.
Yeah. Take your hot dog bun, open it up, put your 2 hot dogs on that thing. Take a bowl of chili and slop it in it. Put you about a 1/2 gallon of chili on it. And go for it. Bless it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. All right, who's next? Go slow. That's the best thing, just to go slow. We had a guy staying with us at the time, and he was, we had 1 milkshake, all of us in there did. He had 2 of them. Well, the first thing he did was go to the bathroom real quick. He couldn't handle it. His stomach couldn't handle it. So it's best to just do a little bit at a time. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. So I don't know if you guys know about the big convoy for freedom that's happening here in Canada. All of the truckers, there's about 10,000 truckers that have moved into Ottawa, and their position there for the last couple of days. Well, they're asking that Trudeau stop the mandates for the vaccination, and also to stop the mandate for, there's some kind of electronic passport now. When one of the truckers passed by, he put up his phone to show his QR code or something. And the guy that was receiving him said, oh, it's okay. You don't have to. We read your phone electronically before as you were coming in. So we already knew who you were. So that's kind of spooky, actually. So anyway, so they're doing a manifestation. It's peaceful. I've been listening. The main news will not tell you it's peaceful, but it is. There are a lot of Christians that are showing up there. They're bringing food to the truckers. And they have a GoFundMe. And they raised $8 million and all excess, if they're not using it for their gas and food, to be able to stay there. But they do need a lot of prayer because Trudeau has gone incognito. He's called them, well, some names, actually. But and he's saying something else. He's saying that they're a minority of violent, racist people. And it's so not even true. So well, my heart is that God would wake up our leaders. I really sense that there's a prayer to be done for Saul's to be changed into Paul's. I keep hearing that over and over and over in my heart. So that's pretty much how I've been praying for our leaders, for Canada, for US, but also throughout the world, because I heard the other convoys were starting out in different areas, like I think Australia maybe. I think England, some people have risen up and are supporting this. So I think this is starting to wake up people. So Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. I ask for your protection over these people. It has been so peaceful to watch. You can see them on Rumble. And different places, just look for Freedom Convoy in Canada and to just watch the little snippets and how people have been so, so peaceful and united. They're going into restaurants without masks. They're not being asked to put their masks on, that they're saying that it's enough is enough, that we are called to be able to say yes, what we inject in our bodies or not. They're not for, not against. They're just against the mandate and taking away our rights to say yes and or no. I thank you, Lord, that for our leaders, I really, like, we don't speak against our leaders, but it is not okay. So I'm asking, Lord, if there's a Judas, just put him aside, put him where he needs to go. And if these are Sauls that are coming against the freedom of your children, turn them, I really do want to pray for Trudeau, Lord, that you would bring him to his knees and get a revelation of who you are. Or move them out and bring in the leader that needs to be there. And I thank you for the hearts of people. You have moved them to bring food, to give money. There's been recordings of little children throughout the entire of Canada that are just saying, thank you, truckers, for standing up for our rights. And these little tiny voices everywhere just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you move through the hearts of these people. And my prayer is that they would know, if they don't already know, your son, Jesus. And we've activated the angels. I've been praying with my other sisters about this, that my other sisters here in Canada. And we're just asking that your angels keep them warm, keep them united, keep them protected. They've been peaceful with the police officers. We thank you, Father, for the police officers that, you know, that are there to keep the peace as well. And that you would make people bring food to the police officers and to thank them also for their service. And I pray this in your son's holy name. And I also want to lift up my little sister and thank you, Lord, that, you know, she's still in a battle, but you've given her some time off work, that she's come to you. She is asking about you. She is trying to, she's trying to receive and be transformed more in your beauty and your holiness. She still doesn't understand it all, but that's okay. You have her. And I thank you that the spirit of fear that we've been binding and rebuking, but I sense more that there's a sense of just loving her and to keep loving her and releasing your love over her and just being there for her. And I thank you, Lord, you have carved out my Tuesdays that I could just be with my sister, lay hands on her and just take gentle authority, but gentle. That's what he keeps telling me, you know, to take off that fear and just kick it out and to just pour love on her, pour love on her. I thank you, Lord. This is what you are doing. You are turning our family members to you. And I thank you for that. I see them ahead enough in all of our group. I just see it. I'm declaring that the entire families are being saved. They're being called and they are going to hear your voice. They're going to feel your love. And I just thank you for that. Like Michael was just saying, the power of us gathered in your name. Well, I have no words. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, yes, Lord. We just say yes and continue. Amen. And I thank you for number three, my third prayer. Also, Lord, for neighbors that, you know, that they are too, that we pay attention to our neighbors. They are drawn for us not to be ashamed to talk about you, about our relationship with you. And then let them invite us. And I just went to a brunch with Alan and Jenny. And I want to declare and thank you, Lord, that Alan has not stuttered for the past month and a half now. That's the kind of God you are. I mean, he's still reading the Bible. He still doesn't quite understand, but he's stutter-free, Lord. And that is all that matters right now. So yes, let's go love on our neighbors in Jesus' name and love on our leaders and change their hearts, Father. It is enough. And I thank you. You are using this ridiculous COVID thing to save your children. That's it. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, that you're going to do everything to change Canada for the better, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can you hear me?
No? Yay!
Praise God.
Amen.
Rian was so sweet. He sent me a little article on how to do this, and I. It's so funny because I don't read techie articles. So I was like, that's sweet. Thank you. And I just prayed. So when Nick was talking about the weather warfare, it reminded me that the Lord actually gave me a verse about this that we needed to pray for last week. And I will find it. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random after I had a dream about something. And that night that I had the dream, there was the biggest winds, like we were in, it was gale force winds, but nothing was damaged, everything was fine. There were just little leaves lying around. So I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and I got 1 Kings 11:20, which says, "And the sister of Tapenes bare him Genubath his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's house among the sons of Pharaoh." So this child that was born is Hadad's son. And he was raised up as an adversary to Solomon. But Hadad was known as the god of weather, hurricanes, storms, thunder, and rain. And so I say all this to say that I think I can pray and we can all agree. To cast down this weather warfare. It's for a purpose, but it's not supposed to harm us because we are not Solomon. We do not have idols, right? Like we are not that. So I will pray. And if anybody feels led, or Michael, if you'd like to jump in afterwards, that'd be great. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the enemy's plans. every time. Thank you for giving us ears to hear and eyes to see. Thank you, Lord, for making our hearts soft. Only you can do that work, Lord, and you amaze us with your goodness and your truth and your beauty. And Father, I come to you now and I say thank you. We know who calmed the storm. It was the same voice that spoke creation into existence. And we do not have a spirit of fear over any weather warfare because we have that same power in us to command storms, winds, and any other natural or man-made weather phenomenon. We can stop it. And so I rebuke all weather warfare that is hindering the elect's walk, that is allowing fear to creep in, or doubt or unbelief. You've been found out and you must leave in the name of Jesus. Father, we do not accept the natural world as we see with our eyes. We accept only what your word says and your promises about us being in the secret place of the Most High, knowing that no evil shall befall us. I pray protection over every one of your elect, Father, everyone in this Zoom room, that we will be protected from all weather incidents, because your word says that with two or more gathered, there you are. And if Jesus is there, weather's got nothing on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, just like you've done in the past for us here, we come against any kind of damaging storms around your chosen. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can just stand up just like Nick. Nick's got the same power as everybody in here. He can stand up and say, my road will not freeze up. I'll be able to go to work safely and come home safely. And just like Joe DeBrowthy wanted me today to pray for him against the weather coming in his area. I said, no, Joe, you have authority. You command that storm to go around you, and it will. But I'll believe with you. And we thank you, Father, that it's done there and everywhere else in this fellowship here that needs it done. It's not going to hit. It's not going to have any kind of effect, negative effect on anybody, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you have given us a dominion over the weather. And you showed us that in the boat there when you said, peace be still. And it just calmed down. Lord, we thank you that there's not going to be any ice storms around your people. There's not going to be any snowstorms around your people. There's not going to be anything but just perfect roads and no electricity lost. None of that. In the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing it for your people. Does everybody agree? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We do. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for fixing Claire's computer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I come against faction in our families in the name of Jesus. I command you to go from our families in the name of Jesus. You don't have a right there. We take authority over you and command you to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that there's nothing there but love for one another. The love that you've given us, Lord, for each other in our families and our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Faction, you're on notice. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. And it's done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Pat.
Before I start, I wanted to just tell Vanita that when she starts eating, intentionally go slow and just take one bite of something at a time and just revel in the different sensations that you feel as far as taste, because your taste buds are, your whole taste sensitivity is going to be totally enlightened, and you're going to taste like grapes just explode in your mouth. The taste just is crazy. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know, you may want to just slow down and just enjoy, you know. But anyway, that was one. That was one of the things that I noticed. Other than that, I just ate like normal. But anyway, by the way, I, for some reason, this fast, I lost 17 pounds, which I thought, usually 7 days, you only lose about, I don't know, maybe 10 pounds or something like that. But anyway, this one went, I got skinny on this one. So I kind of feel like I would like to just share an experience that I had, and this was before I was saved. This was, and it has to do with the power of God to destroy strongholds in our mind. And I know that God led me in the early 70s when I was in college. And obviously I didn't know anything about God, didn't care about God or Christianity, especially Christians. And one night, under tremendous pressure that I was in at that time, and I went out into the deserts of Phoenix on my motorcycle, and I just, it was one of those things that you just had so much pressure, you just had to drive and go wherever. I didn't even, I just followed the roads. And I ended up out in the middle of the desert, and I stood out there, leaned against my bike, and I was just looking at the stars, which is something I just loved to do when I was a child. And I remember at that time just looking up and to the stars, and I just made a prayer or a statement, and I said, God, if there is a God, I want to know it. And of course, I didn't see or feel anything happen, but I left. And, you know, drove home and whatever. Things went on. I didn't really realize anything happened then, but there was an awakening that took place that I didn't know about, but I started seeing the evidence of something. And I never put two and two together to find out what the cause was. A week later, I remember going at work. I remember looking across the street at work, and I saw this kind of Spanish Gothic looking church. I didn't know what it was. I think it was a Catholic church or something. And so I decided to walk over there and go inside the church and just see what it was. Now, that's kind of a little thing. If you are familiar with, you know, going to church and that sort of thing, but I was repelled. I was fearful about doing something like that. But this time I just walked in and I sat down in a pew and of course looked at all the statues on the walls and everything. and left, you know, after a while, and nothing happened. But the point is that there was no fear when I walked into it, which for me was something. And again, I didn't notice at the time. I notice it now when I'm reflecting back on it. But when I was 4 years later, I had gotten into transcendental meditation because I wanted the relaxation thing that they talked about, et cetera, or whatever. So which is an interesting point. I went to go and, you know, they said I needed to read a book, such and such, and then I'd come back next week and I would receive my mantra. And I said, well, listen, all I want is the meditation, find out how to meditation. I don't want any religion. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm just here for the meditation. Oh, no, we're not religious. We don't do that. So I went through the whole, I went to the process. Interesting thing enough, we went into this kind of dark room where they had a bunch of candles around the room and whatever. And she told me to sit down in a chair over there. And then she said, no, I'm going to go get your mantra. And she went over in the corner and you could see something happening over there and whatever. And then she came back and whatever, gave me mantra. So she was right. It wasn't religious. It was demonic, but I didn't know the difference. Anyway, as I proceeded on into that process, and going to a meeting once in a while, heard about what they were promoting in those days as a superhuman power, releasing the superhuman powers within type of thing. And so I went to a weekend retreat in order to see what that was all about. And it was the whole, you know, whole mysticism, Eastern mysticism, pray and, you know, eat nuts and yogurt and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the interesting thing, the night before we left, we had one of the speakers stood up and we watched a movie of the Maharishi, whatever, yogi, whatever, guy with the long gray hair and that goatee, like this. And the thing that I saw in this thing was he was talking about doing certain things or you know, we believe this, da 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 da, and this is what they, and then he would end with, but the Christians believe this. And they'd do another one, ba 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 ba. We believe in moving into an enlightened such and such or whatever, but the Christians believe this. And it hit me, just a little trigger there in my mind. Why, if this is not religion, why is he always comparing himself to Christians? Why is that? And I just, set it aside. And then later on, the speaker got up and was asking us how many, if anybody had any questions. So I raised my hand and I said, how much does this cost? And of course, that was like, I created a rough, you could see the him and haw and the yabbada yabbada, and well, we such that we take a little bit and get, and you could see the song and dance. And he went for about a minute, and then I raised my hand and I said, yes, but how much does this thing cost? Well, about I went for another. I said, I understand that, but how much does it cost? After the third time, I realized he wasn't going to tell me what it cost. And that's when it clicked that this guy is a deceiver. And it's like things just tumbled down. It was like it turned something in me. And believe it or not, I mean, I didn't, you know, get angry or do this or that. It just something inside clicked. And I took off and went home. And you know, I never meditated one time after that. It broke something in me. Now, I'm just going to mention that it was at that time that I had a girlfriend who was a Christian. She gave me a New American Standard Bible. Of course, I didn't read any of it, but she gave it to me. But she was praying for me. I guarantee she was praying for me. And So I would encourage everybody to trust the power of prayers, because God hears those prayers and he is unlimited in what he can do. And the real power is what he does within us. So I just, I want to leave it at that. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers, in specific to my notes in the chat, but I thank everybody. Listen, I'd just like to make one quick prayer. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for these things that you have brought against us. I thank you for this wickedness that has raised up in our government, because Lord, you are using it to train us, to bring us into places that we have never been before, and to give us leading and guiding and faith and truth to overcome, even as you overcome, Lord. And we trust you to supply it, for you have started each and every one of us on the path, and you've promised to take us through to where we need to be, into that perfected place in Christ. And I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits that are motivating the leaders of Canada and the leaders of America, all over America. I bind that spirit that is covering America right now. And in the name of Jesus, I turn that spirit back upon those people and reveal their wickedness. Reveal their wickedness to the world. Reveal their wickedness and turn that factious spirit within them, their bitterness in within them, and turn it upon themselves. In the name of Jesus, we send forth the angels to start to dismantle this and pull these strongholds down, pull these people, expose these people. And Father, if you, Lord, if you can give repentance to those, turn their hearts, break their hearts, open up their eyes, have mercy upon them, Lord. Turn their hearts into repentance. Turn their hearts to the truth, Lord. Give them grace to reach out to you, to confess their sin, to be open and honest about where they're at and wanting out, Lord. Give them a desire, a craving desire to get out of what they are doing, Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Jesus, that all knees will bow unto you, Lord, for you are the only way and truth and life. And we trust you, Lord, for filling us with your life to give to others. And we pray that you would open the eyes of others, that you would save those that will be saved, Lord. And we just thank you for it. We also pray for these truckers, Lord. We pray that that whole process will transfer to America and that you will send the funds into a GoFundMe page or whatever and supply these truckers with what they need. For we are pushing back the darkness. Right now, we are pushing it back. We've had enough. We're not taking any more of it. We're sending it back upon them. We command light to shine in that darkness and take it down right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of life to us. And we thank you that you're preparing to blow a hole in that darkness right now and bring forth life into all those who desire you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We believe with him. We hook our faith up with him. And we believe it is so in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? Glory. Glory, hallelujah, glory. Glory, hallelujah, glory. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, what Pat was praying and sharing is my heart. It was just really full to pray for Trudeau. So, you know, we all join our put our faith together for another Saul, you know, another Paul. You know, this just reminds me of that so much. I think God can do that. And I think I just feel he wants to. So Lord, I pray, Lord, you increase our faith to, we believe you, Lord, to move on this man's heart, Lord God, to turn him around, God. We just bind the evil that is working in him, God, the blinders that are, the Satan that is blinding his eyes, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for his salvation. We pray, Lord, you would just turn him around, make him a man of God, a man that speaks out for you, Lord, and for your people and not against your people, God, a man who has morals, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, for salvation to come to this man, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, you reach the timid, quiet people, God, who sit in pews quietly but don't really know you, Lord. And you touch them, Lord, and you can touch the men like you did Saul, Lord, people like that, God, and like Trudeau, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Do a mighty work in his life. I pray for him, that you would just get him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Save him, Lord, and turn him around, God, and use him for your kingdom now, Lord, your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! All right. Anybody else? Got anything they'd like to share? Hi, Greg. Good to have you with us.
It is always good to be here.
All right. But you didn't get hung up because of your passport, did you?
No.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, Renita.
I just had a quick question. My dad is putting together a will or a trust right now. And so I just wasn't sure what you guys all thought about doing a will or a trust. My pastor's wife, my old pastor, his daughter died in a bad car accident. And her and her two kids were killed, and one of the sons survived. And, you know, her advice was definitely do a will because they just had to, because of the son that was left, they had to go through a lot through the courts and everything because she didn't have one. But I just worry for Nick, you know, and I know the Lord can completely take care of him, but I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that.
Anybody?
Yeah, I'll think Ray. About it and get back with me later.
Okay. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I can comment on that. I mean, a will is an absolute must so that your assets and things go to those that you prescribe, mostly family members, but could be anyone for that matter. But without that, you're right. It goes to the courts and all sorts of things happen. And trusts are generally for estates that are in a higher value where you're trying to designate how the money's dealt with and transferred and avoiding probate for sure. And in some cases, avoiding some financial issues there. But wills are the absolute minimum.
Okay. It's a good thing if you know you're going to die. I'm just saying. Go ahead, Julie.
I used to have one. But, you know, the Lord just really put it on my heart that, you know, everything belongs to Him. I don't own anything. And at this point in my life and when I was making these decisions about that kind of thing, I didn't own anything. So like for like anything I have right now is like my bank account, and I have beneficiaries. I think that's required or something when you set up an account anyway. I have beneficiaries to whom if anything should happen to me, I die or whatever, that would go to whoever I list as my beneficiaries. Kind of the same thing with like it's be led of the Lord, but it's like, you know, health insurance, life insurance, and all those things that are the ways of, you know, the worldly ways who want to take your money. You know, insurance companies are insurance companies for a reason, you know, in case you need it, right? So, you know, just be led of the Lord about that. If you have assets and property and things that, you know, like real estate or whatever, then, you know, there's definitely something there to consider, but what you want to do and Lord will show you. That's all I would just advise you about, you know, property and assets and that kind of thing, that that's just not left in the court's hands. So I'd bet Greg's got something really wise to say.
All right, go ahead, Greg.
Well, okay, let me, put my hand down, but you've already done it for me. All right, I have a degree. I did it. Well, one of the degrees I did at university not that long ago was in taxation, and one of the units was estate planning. So let me give you some of the benefit of that, if I may. Bear in mind, I'm speaking from Australian law, which I assume is going to be the same as over there, but I don't know for sure. The recommendation from my lecturer, she was pretty good, was that if you're going to pass away, and everyone does, apparently it's about 100% at this point of time, if you give it away before you die, no one can touch it. If it goes in a will, wills can be contested. So let's say I will all my, you know, worldly possessions and wealth and stuff to Michael. Michael goes, beauty. Andrew could challenge that will and say, no, he loved me more. He should give me some money. Now, guess, and he challenges it in court. Guess who pays for that challenge? It's not Andrew. The estate pays for that, pays for both parties. So the will, while it indicates someone's thing, someone's wishes, let's pick that word, it can be challenged. But if they've already given their stuff away, let's say to a trust or they've already given it to someone. She gave the example of someone who knew they were going to pass away, and they just gave away everything, so no one could challenge it. Then, you know, then it's then out of the court's hands. The court, no one can touch it, and then the trust deals with, you know, in the case, if I picked your question right, the trust deals with it. So yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in it. That's it for me. Any questions and stuff, then I'll have to start charging you.
Well, you know, the problem here in the States is that each state has a different law as far as last wills and testament. Like in Arkansas, a last will and testament, if you make a last will and testament, that is law. If I made a last will and testament and I give all my money to Jesus, that's law. Now, some other states, I don't know if you could contest it or not, but I don't even know what Tennessee is. But if I put a last will and testament in there on paper and sign it, notarize it, that's law. I give my $2 to Jesus, that's it. Nobody else gets in my $2. But I understand that there's probably different laws in each state.
One of my big concerns is having Nick become the ward of the state rather than somebody I choose. And so that's where my mind was going. If something happened to both of us, and then Nick would be a ward of the state, and my parents are, you know, other members of people I trust wouldn't have any say.
Well, you can set up a trust for Nick for that. Did you want to say something, Claire? Okay.
I mean, I know nothing about any of this, but the Lord's just putting on my heart that he's your son. And I don't think you need to be, the Lord is going to convict you if you step out of line. You're one of his, and he loves you, and he loves Nick. And, you know, there's nothing that is ever so final as the resurrection of Jesus. Like, you can do something today, and if it does, you know, if it's not sitting well in 3 years, you can repent and you can change it, you know. So I, like, for me, like, that's what I'm feeling for you. Like, I don't think you need to, if you're not asking us if you should take up health insurance for him and pay dividends, or dividends, I know is the wrong word. I just don't know what the other word is, because I don't live that way. But I would imagine it's some kind of installment or monthly deductible from somewhere. But, you know, just the Lord loves you, and let him lead you, and let the Holy Spirit guide you. And your love for your son is an agape love, like Jesus loved. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Premiums. Thank you, Claire.
I tell you what, I just trust him to the Lord. Yeah, there you go. Amen. Lord, we do. We just ask that you give them both wisdom to understand your will in this matter with Benita and Frank and Nick. We thank you for it, Father. It's going to be awesome. In Jesus' name. We'll take care.
So I'll send them right now.
There you go. I'm glad Nick would love to come down here with you, Nick. Got to get out of all that snow up there, for goodness sake. The tundra up there.
Yeah, they're saying we're supposed to get like 8 to 10 inches of snow.
Yes, Lord. We had one time, Nick, this has been a couple of 2-3 years ago. It's in that book, Faith for All Things. There's a big storm coming our way. They were talking 10, 12 inches of snow on us. And we, wow. Lady and I, David and I prayed against it, and we just barely got it dusted. But everybody around us got 12, 15, 16 inches of snow. But here in this valley, we didn't get it. I mean, it just as soon as it hits Highway 75 out there, it started splitting. It's like it went all the way around us. Came back together on the other side.
Wow.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Michael.
Hey.
This is Terry.
Oh, okay. Hi, Terry.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. I've really been through the ringer this past 7 days.
And, well, David and I both have been praying for you. Matter of fact, we prayed for you this afternoon or this morning.
Yes, thank you so much. I am doing a lot better, and I had some soup and some wheatgrass drink, and I kept it down, and I'm feeling a lot better.
Amen.
Praise God. My testimony right now is that I've had plenty of time to repent of a lot of things, and God showed me that I had not completely forgiven some people from my heart, and so I did that, and I learned about offenses, and I repented of a critical spirit, and I knew that I had that problem, and I just kind of ignored it. And this week, though, God just really granted me repentance for it. I just really don't want to have a critical spirit anymore. And so I repented of that, and I'm just really grateful for UBN because I've learned so much. I've read a lot of the books and just listened to a whole lot of the broadcasts, and it's been quite a blessing, just a tremendous blessing. And I help edit the books now. I've been doing that for a few years, and Deb just sent me a rough draft, or like a rough draft of a new book that we're going to do, and it's called Family Salvation, or it's about family salvation. And I'm so, so grateful to know that, because both of my sons have fallen away completely from God, and it was just such a sorrowful thing. But now I know that that they are God's, and I claim them. I claim them for salvation. And I know it's going to happen. I know this is just a jumble of things, but I just wanted to say hi to everybody. Sometimes I do come in, and I just listen because I'm kind of shy, and I don't talk very much. So maybe pray for that too for me, that I won't be shy anymore, and that I can speak up and when okay. I have something to say. But I just love you all, and I just wanted to say thank you for praying for me.
Okay. All right, Father, we lift up Terry and Jeff. Both to them. We thank you, Father, for their hard work they do for UBM, and we praise you for it, Father. And in the name of Jesus right now, I come against fear. I come against critical thinking, critical criticism in the name of Jesus, judgmental attitude, go in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting spirit, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. You cannot stay there. She is a blood-bought child of God, and she has repented, and you have no right there any longer. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of infirmity, you leave her now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Terry is completely healed, whole, and free in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask and we pray that you put a boldness in her to speak whenever you prompt her to speak, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful work that she does for us in the UBM ministry. In Jesus' name, bless her mightily, Lord. Thank you. All right, Julie.
I would like to pray for you, Terry, if I would. Could please. Heavenly Father, I lift up Terry to you. I thank you for her and her life. I thank you, Lord, that she is joining us and that she knows the value of who she is in Christ Jesus, that she is part of the body. She is one. She's one of your very many, many, many children and members of your body. And she is loved and she is accepted. And she is a very important part to the ministry and to the body and to the work of the body. And Father, I just pray that you give her just a heart just to relax and to know that she is accepted in here for who she is. And that whatever she wants to share, that she is free to do so. And we thank you, Lord, that the love of Christ is surrounding her and comforting her and filling her up, and that she has your peace, she has your presence, and that she knows you, and that she is a blessing, and that she is encouraged and lifted up. And we just command any spirit of insecurity to go, and all shyness, as she mentioned, that has to go, because that's not who we are. We might be quiet at times, but when it's time for us to speak, Lord, that you give us all a mouth to do so, Lord, and it's only for the benefit of the body, and because it's you speaking through her. And we love her and we thank you for her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Anybody else got something you'd like to say? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage Terry, because she, whether she realizes it or not, she just pushed through the darkness and pushed the fear away from herself. And Terry, don't be discouraged in the thing, because you made a tremendous breakthrough. And I'm just the fact that the Lord revealed you know your sin to you, and you were able to see and respond and not only to confess to him, but also to the body at whole, and break through that fear and confess and let yourself be open and honest and free, because we're all part of a body, one body, one spirit, one mind, one love for Jesus. And and if any part of the body hurts, every other part, from the head to down, focuses on that hurting part and resolves what the hurt is and relieves that pain. And everybody in the body contributes what God has given to them in order to do that. But I just wanted to encourage you because you made a tremendous breakthrough in just that. And I experienced the same thing myself. That's why I'm saying it. But the freedom to speak out, whether you confess sin, or you pray, or provide a testimony, or whatever it is. If you are confessing sin to the body, that's where the health is. That's where the freedom and the release and the health, because there, every one in the body is living under the faith that there is no condemnation in Christ, and that the sins, if something comes up, we confess it and cast it down and give it to the body. If it's something that we're having a hard time struggling with, open it up and give it to the body. The body is here to do exactly that because we love you. And so be encouraged. The Lord has done something great in your heart. And we just thank you for coming forward. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right.
Oops. Thank you, everybody. And Michael, I'm so sorry. I accidentally hung up, and so I missed your prayer. But
I saw God heard said, it.
I agree with it. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Well, you're everybody. Healed, delivered, and set free is what I did.
Amen. Amen. I receive it.
All right. Just like Pat said, Terry, we all love you here. This is the loveliest group I've ever been in. It's the only group I've ever been in. But, no, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
This is a real good group.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right, Carol, go ahead.
Okay. Before I announce some good news, I want to say to Terry, you have been set free of the fear of man. That here is a place of love. And I do know the place of being afraid to speak. I used to have that. And I got prayer for being, to be set free of the fear of man and the fear of rejection. When I came to UBM, and I had not been in a body of Christ in a very, very long time. And I had been searching. And when I was brought to this group, it was amazing how I was able to be honest about being afraid, because I had a lot of fear when I arrived here, and I wasn't afraid to tell. And I sensed your courage that came from the Lord, Terry. So I just wanted to say amen, hallelujah. You are free, no more fear. And just love, amen. love. Amen.
Thank you.
And then I want to give some other great news. So let's keep praying, Pat, Debbie, all of us, because I went to look at my little update news, and our leader, not of Canada, but of our province of Quebec, Legault, has just announced, so I guess he saw the pushback from the people, he has just announced he's not going to tax us who are not vaccinated. That he realized it was disturbing the people and dividing the people, and that was his intention. So I just read that now, and I was like, "Whoa! I gotta tell the people." Yes. So yes, well, let us keep praying for a change of hearts in our leaders.
Thank you, Lord, for upping the heat up on Trudeau, in Jesus' name, Amen. Lord, like Carol prayed a while ago, grant repentance to him, bring him in. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hey, I did want to ask Andrew. Andrew, you here? Don't you live in Ottawa?
I think Andrew had to leave.
Yeah,
oh, there he is. He's here.
Yeah, I live in Ottawa, yeah. So, yeah.
Are they covering it on the news, sir?
I haven't been listening to the news.
Have you heard any horns honk?
No, I haven't heard anything. You know, this is like was part of my fast. I'm not really listening to anything or anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and, I just wonder. Mm-hmm. How far is a parliament from you?
Oh, I used to be walking distance when I lived at my mom's, but it's quite a ways from here. So I don't have any trucks here. I've seen a few go by, but not a lot.
Okay. All right. I just wanted. Okay, somebody raised their hand. Who was that? That where you pointing at who? Debbie? No? Ray and Jim? No, Claire? Missy? Okay. I'm mystified here. I thought I saw someone raise their hand.
That's the Who's the guilty time. Party needs to stand up and confess?
Yeah, yeah, come on now.
It was me, but I decided I didn't need to talk.
I was thinking it might have been a shy hand.
Wait a minute. Did you say that you needed not to talk? Oh, that's that finger. Said, boy, you better behave yourself.
No, I decided that I didn't need to ask my question.
Okay. All right. We'll let it slide this time. All right. Has anybody got a question? Yeah, thank you. Julie, I will. All right. Has anybody got a biblical question they'd like to throw out? Or just a comment?
I do.
All right, Catherine.
So I don't know how to phrase this, and it's probably kind of silly, so I apologize. But I had somebody that I listened to on occasion. He made the comment a couple of times that I don't know how to exactly say, I don't want to misquote him, but he is something along the lines that that Satan didn't really believe fully that Jesus was the Messiah, or he wouldn't have put him to death. So I would just like, I need to research that. I can probably dig through and do some, I'm thinking of suffering Messiah, conquering King, and some Old Testament scriptures. And I was trying to roll it through my mind. And anyway, I just curious some thoughts.
Okay. I think Missy's got the answer, but I didn't understand the question. I missed that part. But anyway, Missy will probably clarify.
To me, that statement is like saying there's maybe the slightest bit of righteousness or slightest bit of goodness or in Satan. To me, that's just so, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
What was the question, Miss?
So basically it's just that, would he have put Jesus to death if he knew what his death was going to bring? Like, basically, does that make sense? Like, he, you know, I don't know that anybody understood the Messiah is dying. You know, it's easy for us to look at that now, but I'm not sure of that mindset then. That why would Satan have killed him knowing what his death and resurrection was going to bring? So did he fully believe, you know, I mean, we know the demons believed that he was the Messiah, but did they understand that he had to die? That what, by Satan putting it in Judas's heart to betray him, is that making any sense? I don't know.
I understand it. I understand it now. Okay, I'm going to let, what did you say, Missy?
Well, now that she's said it a little different, I don't know.
Let me just say something right here, right quick. You, Missy, for you and those of you that are from here, what happens when people get into faction? What's the first thing we say? That stupid demon. Stupid demon. Okay, now that's, I'm going to throw that out there and y'all take it and run with it. Go ahead, Jim.
Satan is a deceiver and a liar, and he reaps what he sows, therefore he is deceived. He still thinks he can win. You know, he's still, you know, I don't know. It's had he known what he was creating, had he known, see, he doesn't see the whole future. He doesn't see all of God's plan, and he doesn't see, you know, his whole premise is to kill, you know, steal, destroy, and to, you know, he wants, his motivation is hate and to destroy. He hates love, and he'll never have anything except what God allows him to have. And he, you know, he forgets, well, he doesn't think, he doesn't know, whatever. He's sly and he's sneaky, but he's a liar and a deceiver. And had he really known what he was creating when the fullness of all of that was fulfilled, he still would have done it because he's Satan, because he has a purpose. He has, you know, he's under the complete control and plan and authority and sovereignty of God, but he still thinks he can win. And that's why he keeps doing what he's doing. Because he's, you know, God's just creating his image in the children of Christ to defeat Satan's kingdom. And we will defeat Satan's kingdom. He just still thinks he can win. That's just my thought on it.
All right. Go ahead, Dave.
I think we have to look at God and see his sovereignty. Now, this is a difficult thing for people to understand, how God would, if he's so powerful, why he would have this whole system the way we have it. Because you got to see where he started from with Adam and Eve. And prior to even to that, we had Satan and his angels in heaven. And there was nothing but perfection, even with all the angels. And you had the earth start out in perfection. And then the corruption came. And once that fall came, see, the angels had their opportunity, and they chose the ones that wanted to fall away. And that was a decision they made that was never reversible. Once that decision was made for them to fall away from the Lord, and run after Satan and his kingdom, and Satan run too and fall away, there's no turning back. There's no way to do reverse that process. So there's none of this strategy as far as Satan trying to outmaneuver God, because God's already been sovereign in this whole situation. He's already knew from the foundation, before anything took place, he knew the end from the beginning. So this is all God's will. If we see God behind all this, then we can understand how this is working out. If we try to look at the individual characters and try to figure them out, we're not looking at how God's behind the scene using this for his plan of salvation, his plan of bringing out sons of God in this world and letting everything else be not of God. So you have to understand, this is the purpose of God. His purpose is to have sons of God raised up and coming into the kingdom. And the rest that aren't coming into the kingdom are not of the kingdom. And that includes Satan and his dominions. Now, they have a place in God's creation, but it's not going to be in heaven. That's God's sovereign will, how he did that. But, you know, he created man. He created the angels. He gave choice. He allowed that choice between his creation. Follow me or don't follow me. That's our choice still today. Obey or not obey. And that's how he determines who's going to be in his kingdom. You know, are you going to be obedient and run after Jesus, or are you going to forsake that salvation? Satan made his choice not to be in the kingdom of God. And so that was his decision. And that's God said, fine, that's what I wanted. I want to find out who wants to be in my kingdom and who doesn't. And this is the trial. This is the test. Satan failed his. Now it's our trials to find out if we're not going to fail it. So that's kind of how this is playing out. I hope that, I know that somebody else has something they want to say about that, but that's how I see it. Go ahead.
Let me make sure that I've got the question right. She asked this. If Satan had known.
Right.
You know, it's not about kingdom or anything like that.
He doesn't have a choice.
Well, he's deceived, just like Julie was talking about.
God put him in that place for that purpose, to do what he's doing. And that he doesn't have a choice in that matter. We think of free will. His free will is just to do evil. That's his free will now.
Yeah.
He has none. He chose his path, and God's law is that's what God has him doing. As a sovereign God, he doesn't have a choice. He's got it. He's going to do that. But he had a choice at one time, and he chose not to follow the Lord.
But the Lord already knew that.
Lord knew that was going to happen. Absolutely. Yep. It was all sovereign plan. But he had to let people fall into that category. Not that they're total free will. God has sovereignty on even who he calls and who he doesn't call in the kingdom. You know, it's a little hard for people to accept. And he chose Satan not to be in that kingdom and do what he's doing. But at the same time, he didn't have a choice as far as, oh, what if I didn't put Jesus on the cross? No, he was going to do that. That's what God had him intended to do. That was God's sovereign will. So there wasn't a choice on Satan's part.
I mean, I heard a preacher one time talking about that. He kind of painted a picture of Jesus when he died, dropping down into hell, and all the demons were, yeah, he's coming to us now. He's coming to us now. And then when he came down there and got the keys and started back up, the devil said, don't let him go, boys. You let him go and we're hung. We're goners. Grab him. They said they could just see the demons trying to grab him and hold on to him as he was going up, and he was just laughing at them. But that was a pretty good picture of it. Go ahead, Ray or June.
Oh, you can hold it. Thanks. Well, we know that Satan knows scripture. He can quote scripture. But we also know that he is the author of confusion. So he's confused. And he literally must have thought that he would break down Jesus. He would throw everything out at him as possible. He started with the good stuff. You know, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. If you bow down to me. That didn't work. And then it was all the attacks he got from mankind. But Jesus never broke down. That was the part that Satan could not grasp.
Amen. All right. Anybody else want to comment? Yeah, he's a loser. Yeah.
I said that Satan did not get Jesus to sin. And that's where we have the victory. He did not get Jesus to sin. So he had no authority. He lost his authority. Jesus took back the dominion that was lost. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Remember that gave us our victory.
Remember that song from the 60s? He's a loser. Y'all remember that song? Well, some of you might not. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, there's two at least part verses that come to my mind that are in Hebrews, and I love them because they encourage me. Because Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered, and he was made perfect through the things which he suffered. And that's the same with us, because he had the Spirit of God. He has the Spirit of God, the omnipotent, powerful Spirit of God. And we have that same Spirit. And without it, we can't come in to his image. We don't have that power to overcome all that he overcame. But we do in him. When we abide in him and we use our sword, and the enemy has no power over us. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for being that forerunner, going ahead of us and showing us the way. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Judith.
Catherine, another scripture is coming to my mind to help answer your question regarding what this man you're listening to was saying about, you know, had Satan known about if Satan had killed him, had all this happened. And the scripture was coming to my mind as Jesus said, nobody takes my life, I lay it down. So Satan did not take his life or kill him, you know, not in that sense anyway. Jesus gave up his life and he did it for us.
He told the guards there, he said, listen, or told Herod, he said, I could call down 12 legions of angels down here. Didn't really need but one.
He also reminded them that he had no authority but what God gave him.
Yeah.
It was only what he gave him from heaven. And in Psalms 45:7, put in there, God says, I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. God creates evil. I am the Lord that does all these things. There's nothing that's outside of God's sovereignty here. So we have to look back and see God in all this. And that gives you a lot more respect and fear of the Lord.
That Sovereign God book, I think Judy put it up there, the chapter 4 talks about that. Chapter 4 in Sovereign God, it does. Sovereignty over evil. Yes, Claire. We could go right on through to Thursday on this, it looks like. That's a good question, Catherine.
I think what I wanted to say is, for Catherine, if the person that is giving you this message, you know, ever so rarely, if he is using the scripture that's quoted there, which is it 1 Corinthians 7 and 8, then, you know, we don't go beyond the things of scripture. It is written. But if there's more that's being added on, then that's where and that's maybe what you're doing, is just questioning, like, where does the scripture end and where does man's doctrine pick up from? So if we put all the word together, then we should come to a, you know, a place where the sovereignty of God is upheld and Jesus is Lord of all. So I'm encouraging you to, tell us what, you know, what your conclusions are after doing the little study or, yeah. But blessings, sister, I pray you are not beguiled by the lies of men.
No, I just, I was shocked when he said it, that's all. And so I just like to dig and search out a thing when people say things that challenge me, that he didn't believe that Jesus was, he didn't completely believe that Jesus was the Messiah, or he wouldn't have done what he did. I need to go back and listen to his exact quote. And he said it twice. It wasn't a teaching. It was something else. And because had he had known, he would have never put him to death. So, and I was like, what? I mean, I just couldn't even believe. So, I mean, because I agree with everything you all said. So I was just shocked at it. And I thought, am I missing something here?
I wonder if he's talking about Judas.
I'm sorry?
I wonder if he's talking about Judas and not Satan.
No, it was Satan. Yeah, because I heard him say it twice. I'll go back and I'm going to listen again to the direct quote. And probably if I said who it was, some of you probably know who he is. So anyway, but thank you all for your opinions and thoughts.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night tonight. It's been awesome. We thank you, Father, for answering all of our prayers, because we know when we come together that we have an open heaven. And we thank you for it, Father. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight. The ones that fix to go to bed and the ones that aren't, give them a good day. And Father, we just praise you for blessing everybody here tonight and those that are listening. And thank you, Father, for bringing us all back together again Thursday. And bless Greg, Father, with wisdom, discernment, and the words to say that you would have him to say for Thursday night. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we know it's going to be good. Looking forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless Nick as he goes to work tomorrow. He's going to look out there, and there's not going to be any ice on there. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't work too hard. You and Edwin, don't work too hard.